Hey guys, welcome to the Falcoholics Postgame Podcast for the 2019 season, Week 11, the Atlanta Falcons in Charlotte taking on our division rivals, the Carolina Panthers. Joining me as always is my co-host and fellow writer at the Falcoholic, Evan Birchfield. Evan, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, DW?
I'm good. It was a great weekend. We're going to jump straight into it because for the second week in a row, the Falcons have dominated a division opponent. Obviously, last week, they went into New Orleans. They pulled off the major upset for a 7-1 New Orleans team that many people thought was one of the best teams in the NFC, maybe in the NFL. They beat them in their home, and they repeated the performance on Sunday against the Carolina Panthers, beating them 29-3 in Charlotte in a division game. And it has a lot of people wondering if this now 3-7 Falcons team can actually finish out the season really strong and maybe even statistically make the playoffs, although I think the odds of that are somewhat low. But I want to start, Evan, with the offense because 29 points is a little bit of a misnomer. They actually scored 22 points offensively. There was a punt return touchdown from Kenyon Barner. So they did put on 22 points on the board. Not exactly a dominant performance from the offense, but I felt like there were a lot of positive things. So real quick, Matt Ryan, 21 for 31, 311 yards passing, one touchdown. He broke a record that we'll talk about a little later. The running game was a little bit underwhelming. Calvin Ridley was arguably the best player of the game on offense. 8 receptions, 143 yards, one touchdown. What were some of your takeaways from the offense, how the Falcons offense did against this enigma of a Panthers defense?
Yeah, I think the big elephant in the room was not having Austin Hooper, how the team would be affected, because he's been playing this whole season at basically an elite level among tight ends. Mm-hmm. Every statistic, he's basically been in the top three, like him and Travis Kelce. So this was going to be a big test coming into this game. And the offense seemed, for the most part, fine. Calvin Ridley, obviously, as you mentioned, being the big benefactor from Hooper being out. 8 receptions, 143 yards, and a touchdown. Like, that's an incredible day for Calvin Ridley, and he looked good. Julio had, typical Julio day, 6 receptions, 91 yards. Russell Gage got a little more action, looking good. And then at the tight end spot, I mean, Jaden Graham and Luke Stalker were the ones stepping up. Luke Stalker, I believe, didn't even have a target. Jaden Graham only had 2 catches for 23 yards, so it's pretty much, they shied away from the tight end position with Hooper being out. I was looking forward to seeing Jaden Graham more and, having his longest catch be 12 yards. Like, he did get used there. It's just they weren't going through the tight end position as they were in the past. So basically Ryan had to, focus on his receivers, and he did that. And they all, for the most part, played well. The big thing I was looking at going into this game was the running back position, because obviously Devontae Freeman being out for, probably multiple weeks, who knows at this point. But Brian Hill looked good in the action he's received this year. So it's going to be interesting seeing him go up against the Panthers, who, looking at just overall at the year, they've been one of the worst run defenses. Right. I think they were 29th ranked against the run, which is terrible. I know, in terms of fantasy football, over the last 4 weeks, they've allowed the most fantasy points to opposing running backs. So they've been dreadful. So it seemed like a big Brian Hill game, and it really wasn't. He had 15 carries for 30 yards, his longest being 11 yards. So you can pretty much tell how Brian Hill's day went. And obviously no touchdowns. Actually, one he did score, but it was called back due to a holding. And then Quadri Allison ended up scoring. He had 4 carries for 11 yards and looked, pretty decent in his first action. I was expecting more from Brian Hill. I think that was the biggest takeaway going, leaving this game, was Brian Hill should have had a much better day on 15 carries. Like, if before this game you told me he had 15 carries, I would have said he had maybe 70 yards or more. I mentioned it on Twitter before the game, as a prediction. I was I thought it was pretty much a slam dunk almost. I was like, oh, Brian Hill, he'll probably go for over 100 because the last Falcons running back to rush for 100 yards was Brian Hill at Carolina. I think it was like week 14 or something like that of the 2018 season. He had like 115 yards. But yeah, he fell way short of that. But aside from that, everybody looked fine. Ryan, I mean, he had a nice day. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much my offensive takeaways, though. Did you see anything else that I didn't mention?
Yeah, you know, I felt like, to your point, coming in, the Panthers' defense was one of the best against the pass. They were one of the best in getting to the QB, you know, as far as sacks were concerned. I think they were top of the league. And one of the worst at stopping the run. So it is somewhat funny that the Falcons' best success was through the passing game and they couldn't get the run going again. I mean, you know, division games tend to go sideways anyways, but this one definitely went off script. The Panthers did not seem to be able to get to Ryan consistently. He was pressured. He was sacked one or two times, but for the most part, for a team that, you know, has been leading the league in sacks, the Panthers did not get home to Ryan as much as I thought they would. And, you know, he had over 30 attempts and, you know, still managed to put up 300 yards, a touchdown, no interceptions. So this game, again, did not go to script. And I think that's one of the things to pay attention to is that the Falcons are sort of defying what the matchups look like the past couple of weeks. You know, last week against the Saints, certainly you thought the Saints offense could score against this Falcons defense, and that did not go to script. And, you know, we saw that again this week with the Falcons defense holding the Panthers to one measly field goal that they scored in the fourth quarter. This Falcons offense, at least right now, I think is still has some problems. Matt Ryan had his best game of the year, bar none. I think his accuracy was much, much better in this game than it has been in recent games. He dropped two fantastic bombs into the hands of Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley in this game with pressure in his face. So if that continues, the Falcons could be in for a really nice finish to the season. And as you mentioned, Calvin Ridley, I thought, was absolutely dominant in this game. He was taking advantage of, you know, some of the cover one looks that the Panthers were using throughout the game. He had 8 targets, 8 receptions. So everything that went his way was caught and turned into yardage. Fantastic game from him. I will say, I do think Austin Hooper was missed. Even, you know, we look at the points, we see 29. You know, as I mentioned, 7 from special teams, you see 22 points. I don't know that Hooper was ever going to be a big factor in this game because the Panthers do have some good linebackers. But I feel like he is missed. I want to make sure that fans don't write off Hooper as being, you know, non-essential to this offense after just one game, because I don't think that is a fair sample size. You know, yes, the Falcons succeeded, but it, for me, I'd rather Matt Ryan have that reliable target in the middle, in between the seams that he's used to, as opposed to not having him. But overall, I felt like the offense did what they needed to do in this game. Again, I'll be honest, I'm still not entirely inspired by what Dirk Koetter is doing on offense. I think Dave covered this at thefalcoholic.com in his recap. It is incredibly frustrating to see the Falcons run on first and second down and gain 1-2 yards and set up 3rd and 5, 3rd and 6, 3rd and long repeatedly. This has, you know, become a trend this season. And frankly, it was a trend in the Dirk Koetter years where we needed Matt Ryan to bail us out. You know, even in 2012 through 2014, we needed Matt Ryan to bail us out from 3rd and long situations a little bit more frequently than we would like to see. So I'd want to see this offense play better, but clearly they did enough to win this game. So any final thoughts? I know, you know, obviously with the 22 points, there were several field goals that, you know, factored into that. There were two touchdowns and several field goals. Anything you want to add, Evan, before we move on to the defense?
No, I mean, I think we pretty much summed it up. Youngway Koo, he's looked pretty good. You know, the one thing as a Matt Bryant lover and fan, I've wanted to see him like further than 50. It seems like he's got, I mean, he missed one yesterday, which, you know, wasn't a good look, but he's looked outside of that, he's looked good within like the 40 range, you know, which,
right,
you know, is something you want to see. But I want to see when he's back in the 50s range, you know, because that's arguably where you're winning games, at least the close ones. But the Falcons offense has actually been pretty good over the last 2 weeks. So they've been, you know, well enough to get him into field goal range where it's like he's knocking down. I think he had like two 38-yard field goal attempts. The one was missed. I think one was like a 29-yard field goal, 23-yard field goal. Like, those are great, but I want to see, you know, before I'm all aboard the coup train, I want to see what he can do, like, in the 50 range, if that makes sense. But, I mean, so far, yeah, he's looked better than the options we had initially with Blair Walsh and Tavecchio. So,
and so far in the two games from the bye, he is 7 for 8. But as you mentioned, nothing above 50 yards at this point. It remains to be seen, you know, what he can do from that distance. And as you mentioned, I think it is that yardage, the 50 plus yard field goals, is really where kickers make their money. Anything, you know, below 40, it should be somewhat automatic. And yet, you know, that's something where we took a lot for granted with Matt Bryant being the kicker in Atlanta. So, but with that, we're, you know, we will see. Youngway has, I doubt we'll see another kicker change this season. I think he's going to be given until the end of the season.
Yeah.
He is a younger player. He's someone that, you know, I think the Falcons have moved on from Matt Bryant. I just don't see them going back at this point. It would be ridiculous if they tried to, anyways.
To bring Bryant back?
Yeah,
unless Koo comes out and completely is like kicking at 30%, there's no way he's not on the roster. I mean, at this point, they just need to, you know, ride the ship out, and, you know, then they can have that discussion in the offseason. He hasn't done anything, I'll put it this way, he hasn't done anything to sabotage his job. It's just, has he done anything to cement it as next year, you know, going forward? Because that's how we all looked at Tavecchio. We saw the field goals he was making last year. You know, the team did too, enough to where they were getting rid of their franchise leading scorer to keep him. So he's going to, over the next few games, and that's not his fault. He hasn't had a 50 plus attempt. It's not like he's missing them. He just hasn't been in a position to do that in a game. But I think if he does and he makes them all and looks good, you know, they're going to have they might have had a bright spot here and have a kicker for, you know, next few years or whatever. So, but to be determined for now.
To be determined. So before we jump into how the defense did in this dominant performance, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back on the Falcoholics postgame podcast for the Falcons' victory, 29-3 over the Carolina Panthers in week 11 of the 2019 season. This is David Walker. I'm joined by Evan Birchfield, of course, my normal co-host for these post-game podcasts. We're going to talk about the Falcons' defense because of all of the changes that have happened since the bye week. I think it is completely non-debatable that the biggest surprise has been the turnaround in the Falcons' defense. Last week, in New Orleans, they held the Saints to 9 points, no touchdowns through four quarters. They had 6 sacks on Drew Brees. They followed it up with this performance in Carolina, which included 5 sacks of Kyle Allen, 4 freaking interceptions. Like, where has this been? They allowed 3 points. So they have now, since the bye week, they've allowed 12 points in the past two games. They have 11 sacks, 4 interceptions. This arguably is even better than I think what fans hoped the defense would be at the beginning of the season. So, Evan, what are some of your quick takeaways about this defense since the bye week? Because I feel like this is the biggest talking point in Atlanta right now.
Yeah, I mean, first off, the sacks are coming out of nowhere. Like we have a pass rush, and it's looked very good. As you mentioned, the interceptions, like the one Kyle Allen threw in the end zone to Trufant, like you're taking points off the board and that sort of thing, which we're not used mm-hmm. to seeing, because you know usually that's why we end up losing, because our defense just kind of folds in the red zone and that's it. They've been stepping up to the plate, and you have to look at, like, you know, Christian McCaffrey, arguably there's at the running back position, he's probably the best right now in terms of what he can bring to the table. Also, yeah. aside from running the ball, you know, he's dangerous in the passing game. He had 14, so even split, he had 14 targets in the passing game. He had 14 carries in the rushing game. He went for 70 yards rushing, which is fine. But he had 11 catches for 121 yards. You know, he still had a Christian McCaffrey day. And if you play fantasy football, you're well aware of that. The big thing, though, no touchdowns allowed across the board.
Yep.
And that was something, because I don't think the Saints scored either, right? They scored, what, 9 points?
Nope.
So it was just a bunch of field goals. Yeah. They're not allowing anybody to score. That's the biggest thing with this team. And, you know, you look at it, and it'd be different if they were playing Kyle Allen back-to-back weeks, but they played Drew Brees and Kyle Allen. And Kyle Allen, for a while, the Panthers fans, and I'm sure their attitudes changed now, they were kind of like, wait a second, we don't need Cam Newton. We have Kyle Allen, the future.
Right.
Four interceptions. He threw the ball 50 times. Like, this Panthers team was getting beat, and they only put up 3 points. That's amazing, especially considering the Falcons defense. You know, we were ready to throw them away pretty much the first half of the season. They've really stepped up to the plate. And, you know, if you listen to last week's show, you're probably going to hear me and DW basically saying, okay, this was, you know, we'll see if this was a one-hit wonder sort of thing. Me and you basically weren't very like, oh yeah, this is the new defense that we'll definitely see next week.
Right.
we had our concerns, but I mean, like, are you still concerned? Because they've done it back-to-back weeks, and arguably, if you look at our schedule going into the regular season, these two were probably our toughest opponents. It's usually that at Carolina, at Saints, or at New Orleans. That's usually losses, and they didn't only beat them, they, you know, beat their ass basically. So, I mean, what do you think? Do you think this is, and we can't ignore the elephant in the room that Dan Quinn apparently, like, they made some staffing changes and stuff like that, and right away this defense is all of a sudden one of the best out there. So do you think there's, you know, like, this is it going forward? This defense has basically changed face, and, you know, this is what we've got now? Or what do you think's going on?
Yeah, I mean, it, you know, you mentioned the coaching changes with Jeff Ulbrich calling the defensive plays on first and second down, and Raheem Morris, who I think arguably is the big name to pay attention to here. Raheem Morris, who took over the secondary after the bye and is calling the third down plays for the defense, has been looking at this secondary, it is a night and day difference from the first eight games to these last two games. Let's talk about some of these stats in the secondary. You've got Desmond Trufant with an interception, Ricardo Allen with an interception and three pass breakups, Damontae Kizzee interception and the pass breakup, Isaiah Oliver, no interceptions, but he had two pass breakups. This defensive secondary is playing at the level we thought that they would be capable of, and they did it suddenly and out of nowhere. I had mentioned at the bye week when I had done one of my podcasts analyzing the PFF scores for the Falcons defense, that the one thing that stood out was that the entire secondary had regressed across the board. Every single player had gotten worse all at the same time in one season. And that is just not statistically likely. That pointed to an issue either with the scheme or with the coaches or with both. It is highly unlikely that every single player on your defensive secondary gets worse in the same season. Usually that's a sign, again, of coaching or what you're asking them to do. What we have seen the past 2 weeks is a secondary that is playing incredibly better than what they were in the first eight games. You know, as we mentioned, Trufant, Allen, KZ, Isaiah Oliver, Kendall Sheffield, all these guys are playing at a much better performance level than what they had in the first eight games. And then on top of that, the 11 sacks. Holy cow. You know, we had six against the Saints. Adrian Claiborne had two against the Panthers. Vic Beasley has back-to-back games with a sack. You know, watch out. He may get that $20 million contract. Tack McKinley had another sack. And I want to point out something about Tack. Even though the numbers don't appear to be there, I would argue that he has been one of our most disruptive pass rushers over the past couple weeks. He is not necessarily, you know, he does have the sack. He had, I think he had a sack last week, but he is generating pressure on a very consistent basis now over the past several weeks, including going back to the game against the Seahawks before the bye week. Mm-hmm. Tack, I think, has begun to turn it around, and he's a young player. He's in year three. I'm kind of excited to see what he can do to finish off this season. But yeah, it just seems like everything that they were getting wrong, they're suddenly getting right. 11 sacks in two games. Coming into the bye week, they had 7 sacks in 8 games. In the last two games, they have 11 sacks. So they literally have 4 more sacks in 6 less games. I mean, that's mind-blowing. Now, how much of that is Kyle Allen versus, you know, again, you know, you mentioned that it's not like last week they were playing the scrub. They were playing Drew Brees in his home, and they sacked him 6 times. They held him to no touchdowns. This week, they made Kyle Allen look like somebody who needed to be benched legitimately. 4 interceptions, 5 sacks. What the Falcons did this weekend may single-handedly make sure that Cam Newton stays in Carolina next year. Yeah. I mean, of all the things that happened, that may be one of the big takeaways. And as you mentioned, I mean, it's such a great point. Both of these wins have been on the road. The Falcons have, I think, 3 of their next 4 games are at home. And those include games against Tampa, against the Panthers, and against the Saints. And I think the next one where they go on the road, I believe, is the 49ers, which is going to be a tough game. Obviously, one of the best teams in the NFC this year. We won't talk about who the head coach is there. But where this Falcons defense is concerned, I think you asked me, am I buying in? Yeah, I kind of am.
And
I think I know, which
you
is
thought we'd be like, here a couple weeks ago.
Right. I think the big thing is, if it just came out of nowhere, it would be one thing. But it came after the bye. It came with, as you mentioned, substantial coaching changes, with, you know, Raheem Morris and Jeff Ulbrich sort of taking over in a combined defensive coordinator role. To me, the fact that they've done it on the road, they've done it back-to-back weeks, the fact that they've looked good for 4 quarters in each game. It wasn't like they looked good for 2 quarters. They've looked good for 8 straight quarters in both games. That feels like more of a real turnaround than maybe a false positive. So, I realize I've gone off on this defense because it's been really exciting, but any last thoughts about what you've seen from the defense, the sacks, the coverage, just the opponents doing on the road? Anything you want to add?
No, I mean, you pretty much summed it up. They're just, and you know, as I mentioned earlier, they're just not allowing the opponents to score. You're definitely going to win games if you're not allowing touchdowns. And this isn't just on the defense, but I noticed over the last 2 games, they've been having less penalties than their opponents.
Yep.
So they're finally playing disciplined football, because there was plenty of games in the first half of the season where they lost games because they had so many penalties. I mean, against Carolina, they only had 3 penalties, which was worth a 20 yards, but the Panthers had 8, which was 68 yards. And, you know, they were basically shooting themselves in the foot multiple times, the Panthers. So it's like, you don't want to sit here and brag too much, because next week anything can happen, but this team's turned it around, and, you know, the proof's in the pudding, basically, because we talked about this, you know, even around the bye week, how, as you know, the where Julio apparently had like a big speech, and the players, you know, they want to play for Dan Quinn, and Arthur Blank was in the room. And since that, and then somebody mentioned on Twitter that Tack was in the room and apparently like looked someone who was really affected by it. Like, okay, we need to do something here. And he's played, you know, phenomenal ever since. Like, I mean, yeah. I don't want to, you know, usually we kind of ignore that kind of stuff, but this team has turned it around. We knew they were talented. And even while they were losing like games they shouldn't have, we knew they were talented. The staffing changes, all of that, something's happened, but this team is all of a sudden, you know, even people around the league are like, what, where has this team been? You know, and the fans are definitely asking. But, yeah. You know, we'll see going forward, but I have to agree with you. The defense, I'm buying into it. Next week will be a, you know, an interesting test. We'll be at home playing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who, you know, Jameis Winston has looked pretty good against the Falcons in the past. But, you know, so has Drew Brees, and he didn't score a touchdown against us in New Orleans. So it's going to be interesting, you know, if the Falcons defense is going to step up again. Because you mentioned that at the top of the show, and maybe you want to talk about it a little bit, but we're still not out of the playoff race.
No.
Somehow.
Yeah. Statistically, and you and I talked about this, Evan, briefly in our writers' chat. Mm-hmm. It seems like the Falcons' best path to the playoffs is to win the division and hope that the Saints fall apart in their last, you know, six or seven games, which seems unlikely, because right now, you know, the Falcons' best possible record is 9-7, and you've got several teams in the NFC that already have 8 wins, like the 49ers have 9 wins, Seattle has 8 wins, the Vikings have 8 wins, the Packers have 8 wins. So they would literally need one of, you know, the Seattle, Minnesota, or the Packers to literally just lose out for them to get a wild card. And the Falcons would still have to win out. So statistically, really, really low chance that's going to happen. You know, their best bet mathematically is that the Saints, you know, sort of fall apart to finish the season and they win out and win the NFC South. Mm-hmm. I think if you were going to bet money, I don't think anyone's going to put money down that the Falcons win the NFC South this year. But, you know, you mentioned it. I think the biggest thing here is a lot of fans were questioning, hey, this is the talent actually there? I had a lot of people ask me, you know, is this actually a talented team, or are we going to have to blow up this roster, get rid of a lot of these players? And I think the one thing we've seen over the past couple games is, if they're coached right, if they're put in the right position, the talent is there. You know, you don't hold a Saints team in their home to 9 points without having talent. You don't hold a Panthers team with Christian McCaffrey to 3 points in their home. Mm-hmm. So for me, even if they don't make the playoffs, one of the big takeaways we're seeing from this last couple of games is that it is somewhat of a reaffirmation that the Falcons do have the talent to be successful. Is it too little too late for 2019? More than likely. But for 2020, I think it does foretell a little bit that maybe you don't have to blow up the entire roster, mm-hmm. that there are enough good pieces that you go into 2020, you put, you know, you fix some of the issues on this roster, you get some guys healthy again. This could be a very, very competitive team again in 2020 without having to, you know, revamp from top to bottom, the, you know, minus the 3 or 4 superstars you've got. So for me, that's the most reassuring thing. I feel like the talent on this team has proven over the past couple of weeks that they deserve a chance to prove that they can compete and be good players at this level. So playoffs or no playoffs, the performance of the individual players is what is highly encouraging for me.
Yeah, definitely.
So with that, we're going to wrap up this week's post-game podcast. Evan, why don't you tell our listeners where they can find you, what you've got going on?
Yeah, you can find me, Ryan at the Falcoholic, on Twitter at Evan Birchfield. I just want a shameless plug here. I do have, and probably by the time you're listening to this, it's probably posted, but a playoff chances article. DW basically summed up a lot of it, and I don't want to give too much away because then you won't read it. But basically, the Falcons have...
Go read it.
Go read it. They'll have like... they went out, you know, there's still a pretty good chance they could, you know, they need help, as DW said. But go read that. Let's see what else. I got my tweet recap, which is probably out by the time you're reading this all, or listening to this also. And then on Fridays, I do a fantasy preview for that week's game, which this week it'll be the Buccaneers. And then I mention league-wide stuff. And yeah, so, you know, hopefully by the time you hear me and DW's voice again, it's because we beat the Buccaneers and we're 4-7, and Lord knows what else is going to happen after that. But yeah, it's good to see a team that finally wants to win games, it seems like. So,
yeah, absolutely. And I know that one last thing I want to add, because I know a lot of fans are out there frustrated by the fact that, you know, arguably the Falcons are blowing their chance, quote unquote, at drafting Chase Young, one of the top pass rushers coming out, arguably in the last 5-10 years. And here's the thing, just enjoy the games. You know, if when you get lost in the minutia of draft position and salary cap, and it is hard as passionate fans, we dive into all that stuff. We want to see our team succeed, but oftentimes I think we overdo it, and myself included. Just enjoy the games. Yesterday's game was fun. It was fun to watch the Falcons win. It was fun to watch the defense dominate. Just enjoy this game. Enjoy the game for what it is. You know, we are fans of this team. We are fans of these players. So enjoy it. You know, I think we get way too wrapped up in the minutia of, you know, the management of this team. And right now, I think, you know, two straight wins, this is making the season fun again. So for me, you know, as a fan, even though we cover the site at the Falcoholic, this has been an enjoyable experience. As for me, guys, you can find me, of course, here weekly on the Falcoholic Podcast at thefalcoholic.com, and you can find me on Twitter at FalcoholicDW. So for Evan Birchfield, this is Dave Walker. Thank you guys for tuning in, and we'll catch up with you next time.